Praise the Lord. Lord says to continue on this subject, the Shamesh, that is a servant. He came to be a servant. He humbled himself. And he was our example in all these things. Praise be to God. And so this is, the revelation is now expanded on the Brit Hadashah, the covenant. And some of you may be wondering, well, you're talking about Father Abraham. How can you call that the Brit Hadashah, which means the new covenant? I tell you, my brothers and sisters, it was brand new to Abraham. Never, ever before had a covenant been established one-on-one with a certain individual, as it was with our father Abraham. Turn with me now to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll be beginning in verse number 8. The Brit Hadashah speaks about this. The New Testament speaks about the covenant that the Lord established with our father, Abraham. That's Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 8. By trusting Abraham obeyed. After being called out to a place which God would give him as a possession, indeed he went out without knowing where he was going. By trusting, he lived as a temporary resident in the land of promise, as if it was not his, staying in tents with Yitzhak, that's Isaac, and Yaakov, who were to receive what was promised along with him. For he was looking forward to a city with permanent foundations along with him. For he was looking toward a city of which the architect and the builder is God. God himself. That's what our father Abraham was looking for. And so in this portion here, we're going to see that there are four revelations of the covenant. It came a layer from one layer to another. Now let us turn to Genesis chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. This is the fourth installment of the Brit Hadashah, the covenant that God established with Abraham. And some of you may be wondering, well, what significance is this? That was given the year 1991, before Messiah. How many of us were alive in 1999 after the death and resurrection of Messiah? That's the time. So if you put 1991 up to today, all the way back to 1991, prior to Messiah coming, that's the time frame. And you may be saying, well, what is the significance of this? This is the significance. If our present administration would read this portion of Scripture, they would not be saying to Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, you are not allowed to build in Samaria, which is actually Judea. You are not allowed to build within your capital city. What nation is saying to America right now, you cannot build and expand in Washington, D.C.? Is there any nation objecting? So, this is a framework of the covenant. And this was established by whom? But by God, and given to whom? To our father, Abraham. So that's why this may be old news, but it's amazing. Our current administration and most of the nations of the earth say, Israel, you cannot build in the occupied areas. Excuse me, that is not the occupied areas. This is the land that God deeded and promised to Abraham. Are we going to be politically correct, or are we going to be biblical correct? If you're biblical correct, you're walking in the will of the Lord. But if you're politically correct, you go with the ebb and flow of the populace. We are called to be the people of the book. And we're to follow what it says. whether we agree or disagree with it, we are to submit and humble ourselves to the will of the Lord. Amen? So now, you're probably already there in Genesis chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. Praise be to God. Some say, boy, you speak a lot of passion sometimes. Well, we should be passionate. Because this is God's will. And we should not be ashamed of His will. And it says here, when Abraham was 99 years old, Adonai Yeshua appeared to Abraham. Here it's saying he did not speak, but literally, Abraham, our father of faith, saw Adonai Yeshua in the flesh before him. As I said earlier, it was not God the Father or God the Holy Spirit, but it was Yeshua. Yeshua, who is his salvation. And he said to him, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Walk in my presence and be pure-hearted. That sounds simple, doesn't it? To walk in his presence. What does it mean to walk in the presence of the Lord? It means this, that we're to be looking towards him. Not being concerned on whether or not we're politically correct or not. But to be walking in his presence. He is our all in all in everything we say and do. He's the reason why we're living. In him is our salvation. Outside of him, we're not walking in his presence. And what's the second portion of the command there? To be pure hearted. Notice here, Adonai Yeshua is declaring to him, you be pure hearted. That means that we're to take the thoughts, the emotions that go on in our hearts and analyze them. And it says this in the scripture, that the heart is deceitful above all things, does it not? So this was telling our father Abraham, look at your heart. Examine it. Know that it's deceitful. But know that I'm here. And as long as you're walking and standing in my presence, all the time where my presence is the most significant thing to you, your heart shall always remain pure. And that's what the Lord is asking us today. We entered into his presence when we came here in the time of prayer. We continue to enter into his presence as we were going into the point of worship. We continued in his presence when we acknowledged him as our resources and we gave our tithes and offerings. Now we hear the word of God being spoken to us. We're to continue to walk in his presence. Later we're going to have an annual business meeting. We're to be doing what? Walking in his presence and doing what? To be pure-hearted. Everything that we see and do is to be done by what? By the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That his will may be done and that his kingdom be established. So I say this to you, my brothers and sisters, and everything you say, everything you do it as unto the Lord in building his kingdom. That's not a political statement, that's a biblical statement. And that's why I say to you, every judgment, every vote that is cast, it should be done by the leading of the Spirit of the living God. And I say this to you, not being political, again, you do as the Spirit of living God leads you to do. Amen? There's freedom in that. Amen? Praise God. So let's continue here. Walk in my presence and be pure-hearted, for I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will increase your numbers greatly. And Abraham fell on his face. And Adonai Yeshua, who is salvation, continued speaking with him. As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. Your name will no longer be Avram, exalted father, but your name will be Abraham, the father of many. Because I have made you the father of many nations, and I'll cause you to be very fruitful, and I'll make nations of you. Kings will descend from you. So here's the covenant, here's the promise, in the fourth stage. But the Lord says, let's go to the very beginning. Because this was a revelation given to him. And we see in this process here, at the very beginning, after a short time, man, which our father Abraham was, tried to work it out according to his flesh. I've done that many times. And the Lord has rebuked me. He's allowed me to come back to the place where he was standing waiting for me and saying, Frank, okay, now you're ready. Because you left my presence, your heart was not pure, and you went your own way. That's what the Lord desires, is that we continually walking in his presence and our hearts are pure. So now, let us now turn to chapter 12. Genesis or Bereshit chapter 12. And beginning at verse 1. Now Adonai Yeshua, who is salvation, said to Abraham, get yourself out of your country, away from your kinsmen, away from your father's house, and go into the land that I'll show you, and I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great. You are to be a blessing, and I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse anyone who curses you. And by you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. There's the promise. So right now, we speed up the time. Thousands of years later, we see the nation of Israel. We see its boundaries. We see the descendants of Abraham living within the land. And there are nations all around them that want to divide the land and destroy the land of Israel along with the people. This tiny little country, this size is compared many times to the size of New Jersey. They want that for themselves. But of all the real estate throughout the whole earth, the Lord has claimed that for his own. And that's what he's established here. And in this portion here, it speaks about the nations. Who are these nations? But they're the nations within the nations, a holy remnant, called out by trust and faith. In the revelation of Abraham's Brit Hadashah, this new testament, this new covenant, the testament and the will of Almighty God was declared to Abraham here. And who was it established by? But by no other than Yeshua, salvation himself. So that was the first mention of the covenant here. Now let us continue now down to chapter 12, verse 17. Now here we see in this portion, he left the presence of Adonai. He went down to Egypt. He told a lie and said that this is my sister. He was no longer walking in the presence, and his heart was no longer pure before the Lord. And what does the scripture say here? But Adonai inflicted great plagues on Pharaoh and his household because of Sarai, Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, what is this that you have done to me? Why didn't you tell me that this was your wife? Why did you say that she is my sister? So I took her to put her out as to be my own wife. Now therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go away. So Pharaoh gave orders concerning him to his men, and they sent him on his way along with his wife. It says here that many plagues were brought on to the house of Pharaoh. What did we just recently celebrate? Just a few weeks ago. Pesach. Were there not also plagues being brought on Pharaoh's household? And in spite of himself, Abraham still was a chosen conduit to be the blessing to all the people on the earth. And I declare this to you, you today, if not by the faith of Abraham, would not be here. Because God searched the whole earth for many generations, but he decided that this person who was imperfect, but had a heart after God, just like as one of his descendants that were not even born yet, David did. David was ruthless. David, King David, did very, very despicable things. But it says in the scripture that he had a heart after the Lord. That when sin was revealed in his life, he repented. And I know in this portion here, it does not say where Abraham repented, but he did learn from his lesson. Because just earlier it said, anyone who blesses you, I shall bless. Anyone who curses you, I shall curse. But he did wrong because he did not remain in the presence of the Lord. He should have stayed there in the promised land and said, although there be a famine around me and I lose all my animals, and there are people dying left and right of me, I'd rather stand in the presence of the Lord and to die in his presence and walk pure-hearted before him than to extend my life for one moment. This was part of the learning that our father of faith had to go through. And this is the portion that we're learning too. Because as we go through what? These tribulation days, the Lord's going to meet our needs. And we'll succeed in everything that the Lord desires us to do if we'll do two things. Walk in his presence and be pure-hearted. It's that simple, my brothers and sisters. Then his provision will be there. And if provision is to take us home, praise be to God. Because just as our days are numbered on the earth, the Lord will bring us home. And how rich our rewards shall be in heaven as we continue to walk in his presence and be pure-hearted. And that is not just pure-hearted in our relationship to the Lord. Don't go there, Frank. But that's, yes, I have to. That's having a pure relationship with our brothers and sisters, esteeming them first. That the kingdom may be established in everyone's heart, mind, soul, and spirit. Amen? Let's continue now here. Praise be to God. And so now we're going to go into chapter 13. This is the second confirmation of the covenant here. It is the seed of Messiah Yeshua. He declares to him that there will come one here, one who will come as the promised one, that promised seed. And he also says that there will be descendants that come from you from the land. And then we go to chapter 14. We see now where Abraham, here, he goes and he pays tithes. He pays tithes to Melchizedek. Who is what? Without father or mother, without beginning or end. He's the eternal high priest of El Elyon, God Most High. And it says here that he gives tithes unto him. And it says in the scripture, if you read closer, it says that the Levites who were in Abraham's loins, he's tithing on their behalf too. And not only them, but also the 11 tribes of Israel. Now as we go to chapter 15, and I'm just summarizing here. We go to chapter 15, and here's the portion where the Lord then appears to him again. And he says to him, go and take a heifer and split it in two. And he lists all these animals. He divides them in two because he's saying this to him. Now I've spoken to you about the covenant. Now this covenant has to be established by what? By the shedding of blood. The shedding of innocence. So Abraham takes those animals and he divides them in two. And this is not unfamiliar to him. Because this is what Abraham would do with any person that he entered into covenant or is an ally with. And so now he's making this covenant now complete to a point. And so the scripture says that what happened after he divided the animals, there was a time Adonai, Yeshua, did not come and fulfill that covenant and ratify it immediately. There was a time where our father Abraham was shooing away the birds of prey that came to see, to dine on this feast that appeared that Abraham had laid out for them. And then the scripture says that a deep sleep came on him. And as you read the scripture, it says this. What took place next? That there was a torch that symbolized the light and the truth. And there was a smoking pot, or some translations say a furnace. And these two items proceeded through. They passed through. Because anyone who was to ratify or enter into a covenant, you had to pass through those animals. And what you were declaring is this. If I do not fulfill my portion of the covenant here on any aspect, may I be divided and torn asunder. And so right now, Adonai Yeshua is giving him grace. He's saying, yes, I've ratified it myself, but now I'm asking you at another time to shed blood. But not blood of an innocent animal, but blood from yourself. So now let us turn to the portion here. That's Genesis chapter 17. And we'll continue at verse 7. And here we'll see where Abraham, our father, from his own flesh, shed blood to ratify the covenant. And I'm establishing my covenant between me and you along with your descendants after you. Generation after generation, an everlasting covenant. How long? Eternal. Beyond eternal. That's how long this covenant is to be established. To be God for you and for your descendants after you. I'll give you and your descendants after you the land in which you are now foreigners. All the land of Canaan. As a permanent possession, I will be their God. I, Adonai Yeshua, who is salvation, shall be their God. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's who's making this covenant with our father Abraham. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you are to keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, generation after generation. Here is my covenant which you are to keep between me and you, along with your descendants after you. Every male among you is to be circumcised. You are to be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin. This will be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Generation after generation, every male among you who is 8 days old is to be circumcised, including slaves born within your household and those brought from a foreigner, not descended from you. The slave born in your house and the person bought with your money must be circumcised. Thus my covenant will be in your flesh as an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who will not let himself be circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person will be cut off from his people because he has broken my covenant. God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you are not to call her Sarai, mockery, anymore. I shared that months ago. That's what her name in Hebrew meant. Mockery. Let's continue. Her name shall be Sarah, princess. Because the Lord was having her to walk in his presence and to be pure-hearted. And notice this, my brothers and sisters, if we go through chapter 16, and I'll just give a quick summary on that. Here she was grieved in her heart. She knew the promises of God. Abraham shared them with her. And now he was getting close to the age of 100. We've been living in the land now since age 75. So almost 25 years have passed. Where are the Lord's promises? And so she thought, well, I want to come up with a way so that God's miracle and the promises of my husband can be fulfilled. And so she took whom? Hagar, her maidservant, and she offered her to Abraham to be his wife. And she said, surely through her, since the Lord has closed my womb, you can have children by her. And so she did that. But by doing that, she did not walk in the presence of Adonai. Her heart was not pure. Her desire was good, but her heart was not pure. And so now the Lord is setting this up. He's not rejecting Sarah, princess. He's exalting her. Because what I'll be reading to you next is something you've probably read before, but we have most likely never realized. God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you're not to call her Sarai, mockery. Her name shall be Sarah, princess, and I will bless her. Moreover, I will give you a son by her. They've been married now for many, many years. And it was a sovereign act of God to close her womb. And now it was a sovereign act of God to open up her womb. It wasn't her fault. It wasn't Abraham's fault. Because who formed and shaped her in her mother's womb? It was the Lord. And so everything was working except for what the Lord desired not to work. For why? He wanted it to come to a certain time and place. For such a time as this. So let's continue. And I will bless her moreover, and I'll give you a son by her. Truly I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of nations. Wait a second. I thought that promise was just for Abraham. Nope. Not according to the scripture. See, now she's being exalted. This princess is now, she's now walking in, because she learned from her mistake, did she not? Not walking in the presence and walking pure-hearted before the Lord. So let's continue. She will be the mother of many nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Men who are married here, women who are married here, if the Lord is giving you a helpmate, the Lord calls you into ministry, and you're to be in that ministry together. Amen? He does not call one and does not exalt the other. What he has joined to become one flesh is one flesh, a husband and wife. Amen? And that is a holy institution of God. And so here we see God exalting her to her rightful position as his helpmate. So let's continue here. At this, Abraham fell on his face and he laughed. Some may be saying, well, he's laughing because her womb's been closed all this time. He's laughing because finally, the installment of the covenant, where it was promised to him that he'd be the father of many nations, the Lord is now declaring that covenant. Because I believe this, if the Lord would have declared this covenant prior to Sarah asking her handmaid, she would have said, no, Satan, get behind me. Because the Lord has revealed that I will be the mother of these nations. And that from my womb, although I'm nearly 99 years old, it shall be opened by the miracle as I walk in the presence and my heart is pure before the Lord. But she didn't have that full revelation. But here it is. At this, Abraham fell on his face and he laughed. He thought to himself, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? He's 99. So he believes in the presence of the Lord is going to keep him alive at least another year. So he can sire this child. Will Sarah give birth at 90? Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael, what does his name mean? God hears. And you know what Yishma means? Without the L, the God added, desolate. That's what Ishmael became in his life. He became desolate unless he had the presence of El Elyon in his life. Let's continue. If only Ishmael could live in your presence. Where have we heard that word before? To live in the presence. That was Abraham's desire. Because now he's hearing that there's going to be another son born. But what does the heart of the father? When Ishmael was born, Abraham rejoiced. Because he thought, well, through the provision through my wife and through Hagar, here, I finally received that gift and that promise. But the Lord says no. Here. And God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you will call him Yitzhak Laughter. Why was that name given? This is the reason why. That we may lie at the adversary, laugh at him, who lies to us continuously. Laughter. The joy of the Lord is your what? Amen. Amen. It never says in the scripture your happiness. Happiness is fleeting. There's a new song out, isn't there? About happiness. And now probably that song is going to stick in your mind right now. I'm not going to sing it for you right now. But it's elusive happiness. But the joy of the Lord. As you spend your times in the presence of the living God and walk pure-hearted before Him, the joy of the Lord can be sustained in your life. Don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at what's happening in your life. But focus on the presence of the Lord. Let's continue. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant. Wait a second. Does that mean that Abraham was going to die one day? Yes. And that's part of the covenantal promise here. Let's continue. For his descendants after him. But as for Ishmael, I have heard you. What's Ishmael's name mean? El Elyon. The Lord, the God Most High, has heard. Let's continue. I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful and give him many descendants. He will be a father of 12 princes. 12. That's a beautiful number. Let's continue. And I will make him a great nation. I will establish my covenant with Yitzhak, the conduit, the recipient. It says in the scripture, salvation is of what people? Of the Jews. Amen? And so that's where it comes from. What's happening right now in the Middle East? The descendants of Yitzhak are claiming, no, we're the conduit. And we know the Most High God. His name is Allah. And we have a great prophet, and his name is Muhammad. That's all lies and deception. Why? Because from the very beginning, Yitzhak did not desire to walk in the presence. And when every descendant of Yitzhak decides to walk in the presence of Adonai Yeshua, what happens? There's peace in the Middle East. Amen? So let's continue here. But I will establish my covenant with Yitzhak, whom Sarah will bear to you at this time next year. And with that, God finished speaking to Abraham and went up from him. He left. And so now here is the installment here. And Abraham took Ishmael, his son, all the slaves born in his house, and all who brought he bought with money, every male among the people in Abraham's household, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin. And that the very day, just as God had said to him. And Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, in his foreskin, the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old. What's the significance of that? At what age are most boys bar mitzvahed? See the significance? This is before the law and the Torah is even written. See, God desired that Ishmael would have a mark of him entering into covenant with his namesake, the God that hears, and that this would be undeniable to him all the days of his life. And so would his descendants. So let's continue. He was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh. And Abraham and Ishmael and his son were circumcised on the same day. And all the men in his household, both slaves born in his house and those bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. As I was studying this portion here, you know that the word circumcision, or Brit Milah, circumcision in the Hebrew, is mentioned 12 times? You may be asking, why is it mentioned 12 times? I believe this is the revelation the Holy Spirit gave me. How many tribes are there in Israel? So every tribe of Israel know this, that they, on the eighth day of their son's birth, they are to circumcise them, ratifying the covenant, so that every generation will know about the establishment of the covenant God has established with their father Abraham. And it's marked in their flesh. How many tribes did or nations did Ishmael have? 12. So it's a testimony to them also. 12 times it's mentioned in just chapter 17 alone. You know how many times the word uncircumcision is mentioned? Once. How many times does the Lord speak to us but once? And he says, here's my word. And we desire not to walk in his presence and not to walk pure-hearted before him. And it also says in the scripture here, if you would turn now to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus 25. This is the seriousness that the Lord says about all those that he raises up and walk in his ways. We're going to hear about a gentleman here. Most of us notice him. It's Exodus chapter 4. Excuse me, I said 25. Exodus chapter 4. And verse 25. Here was the one that was chosen by God to be the great deliverer. Here was the one that was chosen to be a pre-person, pre-Messiah to the Jewish people. And so you think, well, this man walked continually in the presence of the Lord, and his heart was pure in everything. Let's see what the record shares here. Exodus chapter 4, verses 24. At a lodging place on the way, Adonai met with Moshe and would have killed him. Wait a second. Wasn't this after the burning bush? After his putting his hand in his cloak and bringing it out, and there was leprosy? After him throwing down his staff and it turning into a serpent? After all these things, and he had received his commission and his call? You're telling me that Moshe did not always walk in the presence of Adonai with a pure heart? Yes. Let's continue here. At the lodging place on the way, Adonai and Moshe met with Moshe and would have killed him, had not Zipporah. Who was Zipporah? His Gentile bride. Had not Zipporah taken a flint stone and cut off the foreskin of her son? Did Moshe know the commandment? That all your sons, a slave or anyone in your household? So was he walking purely? No, not in this instant. In the presence of the Lord. And who saved his life here? His Gentile bride. That's what the record shares here. She took a flintstone and cut off the foreskin of her son, and she threw it at his feet, saying, "What a bloody bridegroom you are for me." But then God let Moshe be. He left him alone. Because the fulfillment of the covenant was then established in Moshe's own household. Do we have blind spots? I do. Don't think you're walking in perfection before the Lord. Your brothers and sisters in Messiah will point that out to you every day. And when they do, receive that word. Humble yourselves and repent. And walk in the presence of the Lord with your brothers and sisters so that all your hearts may be pure. Wow, that's a difficult word. It's a needed word, and that's what we have to live by. She added, a bloody bridegroom because of the circumcision. Now let us turn quickly to Jeremiah chapter 4. And we'll be beginning at verse 4, and this is where I'll be ending. The Lord says, preach the word of God without fear. Amen?
Amen?
Are we to be biblically correct or politically correct? Are we trying to win people over, seduce them? Are we to preach the word of God? Because my brothers and sisters, in the end, we're going to be judged by holding and speaking the word of God one to another. And not pulling punches. But doing it in mercy and tenderness, long-suffering, and recognizing and saying this to one another. There by the grace of God go I, and I see my brother and sister in need, and I'm willing to even be scorched by the flames of fire, that they can be redeemed and reconciled one to another. That's the kingdom of God. And as we go through these tribulation days together, my brothers and sisters, that won't be just a every once in a while occurrence. Because the deceiver, he's going to pull back all stops. And Adonai is going to allow them to do that. This demonic horde. So that the true remnant of God is going to be seen for who it is. Right now in the evangelical churches, replacement theology is being preached from the pulpits. The church is exalting itself above its root, Israel. Salvation, the scripture said, it come from the Jewish people. It also says this, Paul warns the congregation of the Gentile people. Do not become arrogant and prideful, because it is the root that sustains you. And as they deny the root, they deny the Messiah. I'm not speaking about rabbinical Judaism here. I'm speaking of biblical Judaism. Because I believe this, my brothers and sisters, there shall be a third temple that will be erected on the Temple Mounts. And then all the Jewish people who are locked up in rabbinical Judaism, and the Gentiles who are now getting locked up in that themselves because they're after the Jewish roots to the extent that they're leaving out Messiah Yeshua, that when that is established, then all the forms of Judaism where you can be agnostic or atheist, you can be a Hindu, and the nation of Israel will allow you to be make Aliyah, but if you're a Messianic believer, no, you cannot. But when the temple is erected, I believe this, rabbinical Judaism will come to an end. That's good. Because the Jewish people have to return to what? Biblical Judaism. Through the third temple, so that they may understand what the book of Hebrews, Messianic Jews, means. There's going to be a shifting. It has to come to pass. And then, when the Antichrist arises, and the abomination of desolation is revealed, then the Jewish people, who've been practicing biblical Judaism without Yeshua being in the center, will cry out that day, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and then he shall appear. Their Mashiach, their Messiah. You may be saying, well, why did the Lord give us the book of Hebrews? For these latter days. so that the Messianic Jews who have gone into rabbinical Judaism will flee from it and then lift up Yeshua, who was our salvation from the very beginning of Abraham up to this very moment. We will recognize our Redeemer and worship Him only. That's what's going to happen in the future. And I believe we're going to see this. So now we're in Jeremiah 4:4. People of Yehuda, that is Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem, circumcise yourselves for Adonai. Remove the foreskins of your heart. Here's another circumcision. And I'm going to finish in Jeremiah chapter 31 and beginning in verse 31. It's all through the scripture here. The Brit Hadashah, the fulfillment of it, established with Father Abraham. He did not have the opportunity of reading the Torah, but salvation was promised to him by the literal one who was to come. Yeshua declared this to him, "As now as you have cut yourself and shed your own blood, in the future I shall go. And I shall go upon that stake, and I shall do what? I will pour out all my blood and ratify the final Brit Hadashah with you and all your descendants, the holy remnant who believe in the covenant that I've established with you." Praise be to God. "Here are the days are coming, says Adonai Yeshua, your salvation, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Yehuda, who were divided. And I will not be like the covenant I made with your fathers on the day that I took them by their hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. Because they, for their part, violated my covenant, even though I, for my part, was a husband to them, says Adonai. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel." Now he's joined them together. There's no longer separation. "All those lost 10 tribes shall be found." There have been rabbis that have taught this for centuries, that when the 10 nations that separated those tribes from Israel in the south, which was Benjamin and Judah, those 10 northern tribes, that the holy remnant left their brothers, and they were assimilated. But as you study the Brit Hadashah, the new covenant, you'll see that they're different names. This person was from this tribe. This person was from that tribe. And the lie from the devil, which is replacement theology, declares that these northern tribes were put out and that they're no longer there. But there was a holy remnant that remained in the land. And they went into Babylonian captivity. Just like God is calling out a holy remnant right now from all the nations. A nation within the nation, which is a holy remnant. That is the Lord's desire. Praise be to Him. Praise be to God. "No longer will any of them teach his fellow community member or his brother, 'Know Adonai, Yeshua, for all will know me intimately.'" Personally, just like it was at the beginning with Abraham and Sarah, they knew him. "For from the least of them to the greatest, because I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more." Hallelujah! This is what Adonai says, who gives the sun for light of the day, who ordained the laws of the moon and the stars. These blood moons, my brothers and sisters, pay attention. Pay attention. "To provide the light for the night, who stirs up the sea until its waves roar. Adonai Zavaoth, the Lord of hosts is his name. If these laws leave my presence." We're talking about the presence of Adonai, are we not? "If these laws leave my presence," says Adonai, "then the offspring of Israel will stop being a nation in my presence forever." What does that say? Don't fear, O tiny Israel. Your Redeemer lives. The Lord of hosts is watching over you. You, my beloved, are the apple of my eye. And I shall descend and fight for you. As all the nations, the scriptures say, shall come against Israel. To bless her? No, to curse her. Then the Lord shall descend and defend her. This is what Adonai says. If the sky above can be measured and the foundation of the earth be fathomed, then I will reject all the offspring of Israel for all that they have done, says Adonai. Look, the days are coming, says Adonai, when the city will be rebuilt for Adonai. It's being rebuilt right now. But what's our administration saying? You cannot build. We have authority. In arrogance, you could say that the administration is declaring themselves as what? Israel's God. You have no provision. You have no protection without us. What arrogance of any nation to declare that to Israel. Israel is the Lord's and the Lord's only. From the tower of Haniel to the corner gate, the measuring line will be stretched straight to the Garev hill, then turn and go to Galah. The whole valley of corpses and ashes, including all the fields as far as the Vadi Kedron and on to the corner of the horse gate to the east, will be separated out for Adonai, and it will never be uprooted or destroyed. This is what the Lord is doing. And so now what the Lord is doing now is he's calling out his holy remnant to walk in his presence, to be pure-hearted, to circumcise their hearts that he may write his Torah, his law, his instruction on our hearts, that everything we say, do, or think will not be sin in his sight, because it's the mind of the Lord that we follow and not our own. How many people would like to rise today and say, yeah, I declare to the Lord, I'm going to be a biblical, messianic believer in Messiah and be no longer political anymore. Amen. Amen. To his name be all praise and glory and honor. Amen. Patrick.